dark mode?
With dark mode? On StreamYard, you can turn on dark mode and get this bright light out of your face.
All right. How'd you do that?
Who the fuck knows?
Welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly podcast from independent validator teams.
Welcome to Game of Nodes, the most punctual validator podcast in the interchain.
Only 2 minutes over the
some sort of record.
It's a new leaf, baby.
We are so early. People haven't even fucking showed up yet.
Yeah, people have no idea. Like what?
Yeah,
it's like it's like a very very long running 133 episode rug pull where we actually do the episode on time and people aren't prepared for it. Yeah, it's kind of like the anti-rug. Maybe we're bringing the rug back, but we're flipping the script on the rug. The rug is at the beginning. I don't know, man.
I think by now we've alienated all of our audience.
Yeah, but slowly. The thing is, the wonderful thing about this washing machine, right, is eventually, like, it's highly likely due to the cyclical nature of, economic cycles, right, that the bull will come back around. And maybe, you know, Cosmos may be done for, but there will be a bull somewhere in some ecosystem that we work on. And then maybe for a moment we will be relevant again, and people will go, and they will go, I wonder if there is more insightful commentary from these wonderful and wholesome validator operators. And they will watch potentially at that point, because obviously the bull will start in another 3 years' time. So there will be 200.
LDR, there isn't, and there won't.
There will be 210 episodes to get through.
So far we have 133 episodes,
which is quite a few. There are substantially more episodes than there are shit chains in Cosmos, which is impressive.
Surviving shit chains in
Sorry. Our numbers
are 80, right? It was 85 or something when it started
shit
declining.
Chains with economic value over $100,000.
I think that's probably about five of those, something like that. I don't know. But I mean, to be fair, there's probably some with that's probably a bit low. That's probably a bit unfair of me. But when we were doing some winding down of operations in Cosmos this last week as planned. And when you do the maths to just work out what those realized losses are, and what those what's it called what the current value of tokens is now, you're like, we are down a bit, aren't we, fellas?
Down bad.
you're like I think I sent a message that being like, it's like that scene in The Simpsons where he looks at the teleprinter, Mr. Burns looks at the teleprinter, and he's like, yes, here's where I last checked my stock portfolio, October 1929. So yeah, and he's just like, let's see what happened later that week. And that's kind of what I felt like this week, being like, huh, we have staking rewards we haven't claimed in a while. Oh, that's nice. It's 2000 Juno. I wonder what those are worth. $25 or something. Ah, dear. Do you remember
good times?
Yeah, good times. When that was
good times.
That was worth it. That was worth a few bob at some point.
I think I accidentally just banned Rama from the YouTube.
A news researcher has just been banned.
I think I did.
Yeah, I saw the little ban hammer come up, and I was
I didn't mean to hit that, and it just kind of went forward on that. I'm sorry, Rama. I'm gonna try to bring it back.
The button got away from you.
He's switching accounts as to yell at us. Sorry about that, dude.
Yeah, I'm sure. What's been happening this week, other than the blindingly obvious?
Can we talk about that later? In light of the incredible fucking crab market for the last as long as I can remember, just thought do a bit of an audit on what servers we have. And like, what the fuck is on them? Because my list seemed to be a little bit out of date, and did find a 7950X3D with an SSV client on it only.
Well, yes, I mean, I think, was it not episode like fucking 103 or something was called like time to formalize this cartel? I think we've been paying for something of a something somewhere with an SSV client on it for some time, you know, to do some Game of Nodes formalized carteling on Ethereum.
Yeah, look, I'm just really apprehensive about committing my Ethereum, to be honest. What? I just don't know if I can do it.
Well, but there's nothing that you, at the moment, your Ethereum's not making you anything. If you commit it to the cartel, you get a percent or whatever.
I'm not making anything. I'm losing money.
Yeah, which is weird because normally you're quite rational about business decisions, but this is like demonstrably a bad one.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Yeah,
why I would.
And
do
we've
it.
All set up the servers and the infrastructure, and it's ready. I, for once, I am not the one dragging
That's
my
true.
Feet. That shit has been set up for months. We set it up. It's even it's in PagerDuty. That shit will wake me up if it goes wrong. And right now, well, I mean.
It's not doing anything.
Shit, if I've screwed up the monitoring rules, it might still wake me up if that box has a problem, even though it has no bonded stake because a certain member of this cartel has not yet formalized his, you know, he's not yet cut the blood from his hand, done the handshake, whatever it is that they do.
I mean, our cohort
eats a chaff inch with a hood over his head or whatever the hell it is people do to join a cult. I don't know.
I just don't know if, like, that platform is the one that I want to be on. You know what I mean?
Well, Ethereum or SSV?
No, like that staking, liquid staking.
Stakewise?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
It's a commodity.
Just another thing.
What if I want my ETH back and you don't agree to get it back yet?
And you just unstake it. And then
you just unstake it and it falls out.
And it falls out. I'm sure it's going to be this is going to be a massive pool. I mean, we're going to have thousands. So if you take your ETH away,
huge.
If you take your ETH away, it's not going to make a difference.
Huge. There is a new El Presidente over there, is there?
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah, well.
Came up on the news this morning.
How does everyone feel about that?
I don't know.
I mean, they've
been staying away from it. Been staying away from it.
Do you think that, you know, I don't want to talk about this much, but do you think that Elon and Joe Rogan played a big part in that?
No.
No? What about Elon? He's been spruiking him hard. There's been so much fucking propaganda on X.
His money, like Elon's put up a lot of money and the money talks.
The propaganda on X and the fucking, the amount of shit that I've seen on there that's pro-Trump and like, like against that other lady. What was her name? Kamala Harris. There's just like so much stuff that's like, all this fucking photoshopped shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, of like, you know, Diddy parties and all the other bullshit. It's just fucking insane, the amount of like propaganda.
It's a platform of it, right? So, I'm sure it had an effect. There's no doubt about it, right?
But it had to have had.
I also think Democrats find ways to lose. Like, I think they are experts at can't getting out of their own way with ideology and incorrect rhetoric and not reading the room and just being fucking stupid about shit. So I think like part of that is I do think that most of those teams don't know how to run campaigns and they don't know how to communicate and they don't know how to actually answer questions. They just can't get out of their own way in some of those types of things. I think people see through that shit too. So, and right now, I mean, from an economy perspective, I think economy's doing quite well. From a post-COVID inflation side, you know, it's miserable. And I think people have short-term memories. So, like, let's solve the problem now. And they think that's what's going to solve the problem. So,
fucking how? America's been living on printed money for fucking decades now.
No, way longer than that. I mean, way longer than that. And at some point, the actual debt will come up again. But we've pushed that can for like 80 years or something like that.
I love how they kick that can down the road.
We fucking kick that can.
Every
we'll
time
the can
ceiling
forever.
Comes up and they're like, oh, the government's on a shutdown. They just like raise the limit, baby.
The US markets are so dominant and so much larger than any other market in the world by multiple X's, right? They are so fucking dominant. And that capitalism drives fucking everything. right?
Like, you take like Amazon, Google, Apple, and fucking Tesla out of the fucking picture. And
no,
and,
it's heavily tech. Okay. Sure, it's heavily tech.
You take a handful of companies out of the picture from tech, and fucking America ain't shit anymore.
Totally don't agree. Totally don't agree. Reagan? Fucking retail. Healthcare. Well, that's a problem we created.
Yeah, I was gonna say like that.
Dominant
that
force is, in healthcare.
Yeah. We make our own. Yeah,
beating yourself.
Pharma still not so much airlines anymore. Transportation. No.
Jacket no. P Potatoes says you guys starting on time these days. I know, we're also surprised, and we managed to kick Rama out. So. There's that. I don't know if we actually
he's sending me nasty messages in Discord.
Is he? Did we just deplatform his commenting, or did we actually remove him?
I guess I put him in timeout, which I can't even see how to unput him in timeout. I mean, I'm enjoying it. Don't get me wrong. He sent me like I got gifts of like flexing kangaroos and shit.
I don't see any controls in here whatsoever.
No, I think it's a YouTube. It must have just passed it down to YouTube. I haven't looked on YouTube. I couldn't figure it out.
You'd have to log into YouTube and figure it out.
That's all right.
I mean, how do you even click that button? You have to click the three dots menu, go down three, and then specifically press that button.
Yeah. Well, I was seeing if I could hit a reply just to that comment. And then I was sliding down, and then I think I just accidentally clicked put user.
Click
just accidentally deleted.
I'm glad I had my finger on it. I'm glad I didn't hit ban user. That would be
just ended his whole
career. Really, when I got the gifts in, it would have been all over.
Just 100% ended his whole career.
Censorship.
Yeah, I saw the news I saw about this in the UK, obviously, because I'm a fucking whinging liberal cunt. I look at this and I'm just like, nice one, dreadful.
Circus is back in town,
but just like the Nazis are back in town, woohoo! Amazing, let's fucking go, baby. But I'm reminded that, you know, the saying that when America sneezes, the world gets a cold. And I was thinking, like, when America kind of shits its nappy, do we all just have to get out the baby wipes? Is that like the deal here? Because I once got shat on by my baby when I had him in a you know, the carrier on your front, and it was like rush hour, and I was on a public bus in the center of the city of London, right? And yeah, exactly. And we were like, we were traveling through London on
wearing a white t-shirt.
we both had a meeting, right? My wife had a meeting first, then I had a meeting. So the deal was, I'll take baby, then we do switcheroo, then I do my thing, bish bash bosh. We both like done the meeting we had to do in the city on our way through, while we kind of, and then we had the half day off, right? We had the afternoon off, so we like smashed it, like super efficient. And
do you guys
shat all the way down my front? Like, you can't change that shit on public transit. Like, you are just covered in shit.
You just cover it with a baby on
your front. Doesn't you could be the smartest guy in the world, right? You can be the smartest guy in the world, and it's not going to save you. You're still covered in shit. That's kind of like this situation. You're just like, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's led us to this situation. We all thought we had this situation covered. Turns out we didn't. We weren't prepared.
Did you have an extra shirt or no?
What's that?
Did you have an extra shirt?
Luckily, we were away for a couple of days. So I had my laundry bag, which had like yesterday's t-shirt in it. You know, fucking YOLO. But
I love that transport is so fucked in London that when you need to go to a meeting, you have to go away for multiple days.
I don't know. We were away somewhere else, and we were traveling back through London. So we were killing. It was like seeing family, and then we were coming through London. So we were just like,
you just ruined my fucking story.
Well, Noel and I have been talking because we always joke about my kids always used to shit up the back. That was like always their thing. Like, they'd be in a carrier or something, and then we'd be walking somewhere, and they'd be like in a car seat, where the car seat's in a stroller, or maybe it's in like a grocery cart or something. And then you hit that smell and you go, oh shit. And we're like, is it a blowout? Tell me it's not a blowout. And you pick this kid up and it's like all the way up, like it's touching the back of their neck. Right. And you're going, how the fuck did this happen? And we're in the middle of this type of thing. And then Noel sent me a picture, 'cause he had, his son had a front blowout, which was totally reminiscent, right? That like up the belly button and everything, you fill it up. Right. And, because that same story, I remember that happening in like a Target, and I had to buy a shirt in Target because I had a carrier on, and he just totally blew it out. It was like I had to cover it. I literally went and bought a shirt, and then I had to, I just took mine, shoved it somewhere. Same thing.
My partner was feeding the baby, and you know, his little belly was getting big, and she loosened the nappy. I'm like, no. No, don't do that. That thing is tight for a reason. It's designed
to be tight. I got to do it.
That's got to be like a full fucking, full seal. It's got to be squared away.
You have to tape that shit on there.
Just like a silicone sealant.
It's like rigging on like a Napoleonic era sailing ship, right? If that isn't squared away, if it's not sorted out, people are going to die. People are going to die, and you are going to walk the fucking plank. That's what's going to happen. Analogy's not perfect. Too much Master and Commander.
It's a little bit too much Master and Commander.
We got more shots yesterday too. We got some more of that when we went in for our 5G maintenance.
Oh yeah.
And
so you've got the brain chip?
Yeah, he's fucking fully cyborged up now. He loves that shit, man. He goes in there, he gets those things, he has his little squeal, and then like he just sleeps the rest of the day every time.
Yeah.
Just
out. Great.
That's it.
When they're a bit older, you get the full betrayal. You get the But you brought me here, and you're supposed to be my protector.
Why have you done this to me?
Oh yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
They love that fucking Panadol shit, man. They're like, oh, if his temperature goes up, give him Panadol. I'm like, how the fuck does that work? One and two, he loves that shit. He fucking
what is it?
Like the crack. Calpol. Is that Calpol?
It's like, you know, the paracetamol.
The oral
baby paracetamol. It's like in the fucking tube. Yes. Stick it in his mouth and he's
oh really
yeah, it's like the painkiller, baby painkiller.
Like an ibuprofen but lighter, I'm guessing.
Do you have paracetamol over there? We've got ibuprofen and paracetamol.
Oh yeah. Panadol is the US is the Australian brand name for Calpol.
What Calpad?
Calpol
is that like the UK brand name for paracetamol?
Child paracetamol. Calpol. I don't know why it's Cal.
Yeah,
I guess it must be child, like oral suspension. That would be an O, wouldn't it? I don't even know. Why is it called?
I feel like it's his first introduction to like something sweet too, because it's got this berry flavor.
It will be the sweetest thing they've ever tasted, unless they go mad for it.
Fucking loves it.
I see. So paracetamol here in the US is acetaminophen, which is Tylenol. Okay, that's acetaminophen. That's what we call it. Got it. That makes sense. So like a baby Tylenol type of thing. Yeah. Or it's like a suspension. They put like grape or something else like that. They just suck it down with 100% sugar. Just like you're sucking, like just your coffee, like right now.
And just get their first hit of the cane.
Woo! Just get a little touch of that cane.
I don't have sugar in my coffee, man. That is fucking shit. I used to be like a, you know, like a two sugar guy. Get that raw sugar in there. And man, I don't think I could do it now, that the sugar in the coffee. It'd just blow my fucking hair off.
You'd be blown away.
Blown.
Yeah, it turns out it's just the company who came up with it in the UK was called Carlmic. That was the name of the paracetamol. That was the name of the company, and they were bought out by GlaxoSmithKline, and they just went, Carlmic? Cal? And what is it? Paracetamol?
That'll do.
Paul? That'll Paul? Campol? Calpol? Smashed it.
Put our name in. Shove it. Smashed it.
All of those pharma names just sort of sound like someone just made that shit up and they're like,
I mean, somebody probably literally did. Well, they were probably told by their boss, like, come up with a name. You got till now. Go.
Yeah, we're going to market. We need this now.
Yeah, 100%. It's just some lab worker on the Cheshire plane in the 1960s going like, oh shit, it's paracetamol for children. Calmpol. Yeah. Cool.
But then how did they come up with the paracetamol as well? It's like fucking a big...
Well, presumably paracetamol is related to...
People just be making up words left, right, and center.
Well, what's paracetamol take its name from? Is it the active ingredient or...
No, I thought acetaminophen would be based off the active ingredient.
We have Sudafed here as well. It's a different thing.
We do. So do we. Yeah.
So a lot of my organization these days is via post-it notes on my monitor.
Yeah, same.
Which means that work only gets done when I'm at my monitor. Now, I've just noticed.
Paracetamol is the generic name, is the answer.
Oh, it is. Oh, okay. That's somebody else's brand name then.
I've just noticed the post-it note with the word Levy on it.
Levy?
No other context. No idea what that is, but that's done.
Acetaminophen.
That's my whole fucking life, okay. These little things, so to-dos.
The entire world calls it paracetamol, except for in America, Canada, Japan, South Korea, Colombia, and Venezuela, where it is called acetaminophen.
Acetaminophen.
Acetaminophen. It is a non-opioid analgesic and antitypretic.
I feel like the fray is really hung up on this fucking paracetamol.
I mean, it's kind of interesting, isn't it?
It is a little bit interesting. I didn't know it was called something different. I didn't know what you were talking about.
And then, yeah, Tylenol, Palmolol are the brand names. Cool. Slightly reduces fever, but it is inferior to ibuprofen in that respect. Oh.
This is what Rama gets.
Can you give ibuprofen to babies, though? Probably not.
No.
No, you can't.
You can't. I think there's a minimum age. I forget what that age is.
But 6 months. It's about 6 months, and then you give them baby ibuprofen, which is super dilute, I think.
Yeah, that's what it's that, like when our kids have fevers, one of ours had not the flu, but pneumonia, and then they bounce back and forth like you do, and they don't interact with each other, so you can do like every 3 hours you can bounce back and forth. Exactly. So you have a 6 hour break in each one, which is like really effective. Like that shit works
when they've got like RSV or some shit, and you're just like fucked, and you need to give them something. Also, like you got to pray that those teeth start coming in after you can give them the double dose, because then that first tooth or two is like that's when you're double dosing every three hours.
It's miserable and hurts, which it does. But now they actually sell Advil dual action, which is Advil and acetaminophen, which is ibuprofen and acetaminophen mixed in one pill, which I take for hangovers, which is really effective too. That stuff's good. Dual action.
It's super effective to bring that hangover.
It's not just for hangovers. I mean, just in case.
Cool. Good info.
There you go. Big day.
So, what would you prescribe? Will the Advil dual action work for America's current hangover? That is,
I don't know. Today? I did try some this morning.
They drank a little bit too much.
To no effect.
They got a bit carried away.
Yep.
Yeah, boys will be boys, but I was reading a thing about how a Trump presidency is going to cost the UK economy 5% of GDP at its worst, and I'm kind of like, we don't have 5% to get.
Really?
Can you just like not? Like,
is it coming here?
What's that?
Is that 5% coming here?
No. I think you just lose it. Because that's how.
Oh, we just lose it. Just disappear.
Because how protectionism works is that like everybody loses. Especially when you're like the big dog, like what happens is like we kind of all lose, but you know, if you're an economy that has just shot itself in the head with Brexit like 6 years ago and is now just floundering in the where are they now file, like it's not, I believe, traditionally helpful to lose another 4% of your exports, 4% of your GDP that is assigned to exports to a foreign market. I hear that's like bad. I'm not an economist.
Helpful.
Not traditionally known to be a helpful happenstance. The double H, helpful happenstance.
How is that Brexit thing going anyway?
How is that Brexit thing going? Well, I gather every single statistical measure from an official body that publishes decent analysis says that, yep, it was bad. It turns out, you know, isolating yourself from your largest market is incredibly counterproductive for business, and it's had a massive impact on an already stagnant labor market and real wage growth, and has cemented a number of bad trends for UK productivity, as well as compounding budget deficit problems, which have only just come to light with the change of government, where they, you know, found like a £20 billion black hole in the finances. So it turned out we were even worse off than we thought we were, which is like top. That's totally great.
I think the important piece is you just keep blaming whoever's currently in charge, right? You don't actually blame the problem. You just blame whoever's.
Yeah, I think the problem is, exactly. What we really need to do is like kind of double down on not identifying that we made like a big mistake.
Yeah, because
it's really important to just like not lose face or something. Right. I don't really, I don't really understand, but that's, I gather, what it's all about. You can't tell, even though the swing vote of people who actually voted for it are now statistically dead. I gather that in public, this is true. It's hugely demographic shifted towards older people. Working age people didn't want it because we have jobs, which we now, you know, whatever, been screwed over by. So
statistically dead.
But I mean, it's true. Like there was this crazy piece of statistical research put out by the London School of Economics, like say about 6 months after the referendum, where they basically did, based on trend analysis, they were like, oh yeah, if you'd held the referendum 6 months later on exactly the same voting participation and turnout, it would have gone the other way because it literally relied on like over 75s, I think, mm-hmm. turning out to vote. And you're just like, cool. Literally got beaten by dead people who've decided the next 10 years of economic policy for this country. Like
who literally would not even, whether it was successful or not, will not see a change in their lifetime.
No, and whose pensions are unaffected because they typically are on like final salary pensions or whatever. So, you know, it's just like one of those lovely, lovely things where, you know, you get shafted and then you get told that you're the problem and you have to pay to fix it and blah, 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 blah. So corporation tax for small companies has gone up a couple of times, even under a conservative government, and which, you know, fine if it's going to be used to fix the country, but you are kind of like, well, it would have been nice if we'd done this from a strong position and actually fixed some problems rather than just plug the hole that you guys made by voting for the old people dumb idea.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that and then wasting kind of 10 years of economic growth, which we now haven't had. So.
Sweet.
Yeah. However, in the most recent budget, they have finally decided to put VAT on private school fees, which is a policy so awesome that it literally makes me hard. So there you are.
They put VAT on private school fees. Okay.
So in this country,
that was not there before.
Yeah. So in this country, basically, like private schools are a way of like the upper class staying in power, right? They, mm-hmm. they're set up as charities. It means they're very tax advantaged if you already have a lot of money, particularly wealth, because wealth is also very tax advantaged, mm-hmm. especially inherited wealth. And you don't pay VAT, you don't pay sales tax on paying for private schools. Not only is it tax advantage, not only is it potentially a write-off depending on your circumstances, but also you don't pay, the school doesn't have to charge you sales tax, right? Mm-hmm. So the government loses out on, because it's only like 3% of people, like something like that, the top 3% of people that send their kids to private school. But that is like a quite significant amount of money. Like I think average private school fees are probably about 20. When I was a kid, they were like £22,000 a year or something for a lot of these. So, you know, 20% of £22,000 a year, that's a lot of money going to the exchequer, potentially, you know, to pay for things like other people's schools, you know, just a wild idea. Yeah. So that was never charged because it wasn't. And now it is going to be charged. And people who have a lot of money and send their kids to private school have lost their minds. And people who went to state school and don't plan on sending their kids to private school and don't give a shit find it very funny. And so, because I'm like, I have to pay sales tax on a fucking toothbrush. I think you guys should have to pay sales tax on private education. Thank you. So
yeah, that's right. And what percentage of, what, do you know what the percentage actually go to private schools versus?
It's four, I think.
4%?
It's 4%.
Okay. All right. So it's pretty small, but yeah, still.
And, you know, if you don't want to do it because it's, you know, you think it's not so good a deal now, then, you know, you can just go to state school.
Right.
That's cool.
It's cool.
That's an option.
I guess their tax here, I mean, it would, I mean, I don't know if tuition, I don't know if there's a sales tax on tuition. I should actually look at that. I don't think so for private school. I don't think there'd be sales tax on it. But I mean, obviously it's post income tax. Sorry. So the income's being taxed. It's not like a.
Yes,
I don't think it'd be deducted in any sort of way.
Yeah, so I think previously, because they were charities, it was literally a charitable donation. So it's deducted from, yeah, exactly. And they didn't have to pay sales tax.
Right, it's not taxable income at that point. That's crazy. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what it was before. They haven't fully closed that loophole, but they're making sure that some tax gets paid, which, look, you know, small businesses like ours, you know, had corporation tax raised, fine. Like I say, if that's what's needed to be done, that's cool. National insurance has gone up. Some stuff basically affects, like, you know, the amount you pay for hiring somebody. And again, it's a complicated and big issue that is not interesting enough for this podcast to go into, let's be honest. Yeah. But it primarily is borne by small to medium businesses, right?
Yeah.
Like the world's smallest violin, because you got to pay sales tax on tuition.
Right. I mean, we've talked about more petty things on this show. So,
well, that is true. That is true.
Yeah.
You know, it's, hey, you know, it's a good news story. I was like, I read that in the thing and I was like, hey, that's a great policy that I love. So in amongst a quite lukewarm budget. So I was like, yeah, cool. Take the W, man.
When you guys were talking about TVL before, I actually had this dashboard up. I shouldn't have looked at this TVL dashboard.
TVL?
That was a dumb idea.
Don't look at the TVL dashboard.
What, Cosmos?
Yeah. No, well, Noel has this like little Zabbix thing. He pulls all the, you know, he pulls all the commission amounts out and he pulls all the unstaked amounts and he pulls the TVL in there. And if it's public, if it's a token that's actually traded, he pulls the price off CoinGecko and does a little mathy math. And it's pretty brutal. I think
it's pretty brutal. You're going to need to expand on that a tiny bit.
Well, I remember in 2021, I was looking in to say if we didn't have like $100,000 in TVL on the node, it wouldn't make sense. And I think like the break even at 5%. What is it, like $350,000 or something like that? I forget what it is. $500,000 maybe?
On which something network? Like
that? Any network. Meaning right. Like if you have $500,000 staked at 5% based on rewards, that probably equals a couple $100 a month or something more than that. I forget what the hell it was.
Yeah,
I can do the math. But
it's going to be closer to $1 million, I would have thought.
No, it depends on if you're talking about do you want to eat or you just want to pay for whatever's running at a net.
Oh, I guess selfishly, I'm assuming some money for the for work on top of hardware. But yes, yeah, pure hardware, you're probably
right. Right, and so I remember saying like if it was under 100,000, it wouldn't make any sense. Like that was silly. Like why would you have running nodes at 100,000 under 100,000 TVL? If I draw that line here, it's a lot of like there's that. Would, then I was like, maybe I should make it 50,000. Well, maybe I should make it 25,000.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe anything under $10,000 should go away.
Well, I think that was the point we got to with Juno and Stargate. Is like we were just, it was substantially below the break even, despite being like on paper quite a large staked quantity. And you just go like, well, at what point?
Yeah, I think Juno right now. I mean, we're not very high in the Juno set, but I think we have 12 grand staked on Juno total.
Yeah,
12,000 total TVL.
Yeah, 12, I think 000. we were
what am I doing?
We were, so I had honestly thought it was like 100K for us until I did the maths when I did like the, you know, claiming rewards, beginning to unstake, unbonding and whatnot. And I just looked in the Kepler dashboard and it was like, oh, 15,000 Juno is like $800. And I'm like, oh shit. Okay. Yeah. It's actually way less than I thought. Like it's more like there's probably still about 50-60K I think we had on the validator. But like nowhere close, like not even with 8% commission or whatever we had on it. Like it was just
the numbers are really weird. Like even like Stargaze were, we have a pretty significant amount of stake there, but that's like 85 grand. Our OmniFlix stake is 300,000. So we have three times as much on OmniFlix than we do on Stargaze. And that doesn't make any sense to me. Like that tokenomics doesn't make any sense. Like it, like just in terms of the amount of traffic on those respective sites and other types of things that doesn't seem like it's a
thing. Is it about circulating supply being substantially lower?
I would assume it's, I mean,
must be because Stargaze is so inflationary that you could, you can have like 2 million stars and it's worth like $5,000.
Yeah. Right now it's 6/10 of a cent.
Yeah. Do you remember it was worth 0.5 cent? That was a wild time.
Yeah. It was 40 something, 45, 42, something like that.
I mean, look, stars became the NFT marketplace. And we went back to 20 cents, 30 cents.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with Astra. I'll be on a beach so fast, your head would spin.
We'll see what happens with Astra, like when because they're doing some stuff with Astra as a subchain on Celestia, which will have like much faster block times and finality and a bunch of other stuff that's coming in there, which I think will be interesting. I don't know if that affects Stars token price at all. I don't understand that well enough, but
hope anyway, so. Otherwise that's just
you would hope
changing
so. Agree.
To a right. New project.
No, I agree. Yeah, that would be, I would think that would be kind of the point, right? So yep, anyway, staying away from that dashboard. Fuck that thing, just ignoring it.
Let's just not worry about it. What we don't know can't hurt us.
Doesn't matter.
Which is
Chihuahua's pretty high up that list too, which is weird.
I have 7 networks under $100,000. By the looks of it,
I think I probably
from my more. Summary dashboard.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4.
Seems to have been a bit of a Trump pump, though.
8. I have nine under eight.
This morning I woke up and I was like, I called it last time, and certainly called it this time. But it was just like, I've got to ride somewhere first thing in the morning. I don't want to be bothered when I'm in traffic and whatever. I'm just like, just not going to worry about this, whatever. I'm not an American. This is kind of beyond my control, not my problem. And then I saw, just I get some node metrics get sent to me every morning, and I saw a price ticker, and I was like, well, I know what's happened.
Yeah.
It was like, Bitcoin appears to be up. Well, I'm fucking, you don't have to tell me what's happened then.
Bitcoin's up 9%. Ethereum's up 10-11 right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm okay with a little pump, though. Let's get some shit going here.
Yeah. Sell some stuff.
That's just U.S. enthusiasm around crypto. I mean, I don't know if that any of that is real. I think each candidate there is just saying things that they want to say to be able to get into office. So I don't think there's anything. I don't think it's either in their control. I don't think there's going to be a significant amount of change. I think it's just one of those things that gets kicked down the road. But we'll see.
Unless you get an increase in disposable income, or you get real use cases that people want to use, it's kind of six one half a dozen the other, right? In terms of moving the needle.
Yeah, I do think that once, if there is a road to a realistic stable coin use, it's where it's going to start. If there's a road to a realistic stable coin use that is in use by credit entities and by others, I think you get use cases fucking skyrocketing. Like, I think so many people.
What do you mean by stable coin real estate?
Stable coin use in terms of paying credit card bills and using it as assets associated to home loans, as using it as assets associated to net wealth in terms of being able to do payments. I mean, I kind of
see it from a point of view of like, if you have RWAs and whatever, but what would be the advantage of a stable coin over, you know, just a traditional bank account, private money, credit type setup?
Well, I think we all know that, right? Like there's a lot. Like, I mean, really?
Reduce fees or like what?
Reduce fees, time, cross border transfers, yada, 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 yada. Like, I mean, there's plenty.
Yeah.
And maybe anonymity, maybe.
Well, I was going to say it's kind of the opposite. Like you're trading off doing transactions in the open in exchange for reduced fees, right?
Maybe. So
it kind of depends whether you think the payment system is going to. I suppose to be fair here, you can do faster payments, which are £1.95 typically, there or thereabouts, mm-hmm. to up to £1 million. It should clear in 3 seconds.
It's pretty good.
So I'm kind of also just like, I think I would rather have that. And then like, obviously your bank is always going to know what's going on. I'm not really worried about that, but like it's not being broadcast on a blockchain. So that's a plus.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Not being broadcast publicly.
But you know, that it's shit. That's low hanging fruit to fix. Like for somebody to actually go in, you know, like, if you were a company and you were like, I don't know, like a post-quantum or quantum safe cryptography company, I would just be fucking getting a solution for that in place. Just be like fucking a zero knowledge solution for just like really, really like the most basic payment settlement, like just posting a proof, having it on a chain.
Those exist. It's not so much technology, right? It's getting the
regulatory approval amongst
others. It's regulatory and it's actual use that will.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the thing. That's maybe an easier sell here, where I think in the next 2-3 years, the regulator is going to move on that in a pretty big way. And the Bank of England just put out a paper, which I think because I took 2 weeks off, I think I probably haven't mentioned this actually, that the Bank of England put out a discussion paper. I wouldn't say it's last month, and it has some quite interesting stuff about tokenized assets, about commutable and programmable money. And also about essentially the stablecoin use cases that you've just described, right? Mm-hmm. And it says that, you know, their concern is they are the systemic bag holder, if you like. Their job is systemic risk. That's their thing, right? and they're just like, yeah, okay, we actually have a relatively, like, we're like, we think as long as we don't introduce wholesale stablecoin or CBDC at this stage, we think that the private use of these things is probably actually fine from a systemic risk perspective, and there are use cases to be found, but there are X caveats, blah, 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 blah. It's a good paper. It's quite well written. If you're interested.
Does that mean they would back the use of those stable coins, or what are they saying there?
So this is within the frame. So this is merely a discussion paper to offer. So they say, this is our position, it's what we're thinking. And then you could up to the 31st of October reply.
Yeah.
I don't know if that firework came through the mic, but so we just blew a firework outside my house. Up till the 31st of October, you could reply to it as a business. Basically, if you were a business interested in the space, or like an academic or researcher or something, you could reply to the consultation and say, here are some of my thoughts on the areas that you've asked for input on, right? But it's within the framework of this wider piece of work they're doing, which is all of the stuff on the digital pound, all the stuff on sandboxes for already regulated entities, of which there are a few. To experiment with these use cases. There's an accelerator of some kind, like, that was a big one. I think it's called an elevator or something. There's a particular name for it. There's some kind of thing for like proving out a use case and beginning to put it in front of users, which may or may not actually be the same thing as the sandbox, but just at a later stage. But either way, the point is, like, they're kind of like, look, as long as you don't endanger the wider economy, as long as you don't actively scam users, we are prepared to work with you on this, but you will be regulated, you know, from the get-go, kind of thing. And it's obviously, like, being one of those organizations is not like easy. You don't just like walk it, you're just like write to Mr. Bank of England and be like, yeah, I'm a DJ in a basement and I want to launch a stable coin. They'd be like, ha, 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 ha. I bet you do, go fuck off.
So they are saying that, like, in those specific, with those specific caveats, that they think that's acceptable use, and they do think that there's some layer of what's the right word for it? I guess it's some layer of organizational viability that they need to pass to be able to be sponsored in some sort of way.
Yeah, they're basically saying at the moment the pool is tiny. If you are one of the people who is authorized to do this, you already know, so don't bother asking. But they are saying that, like, they understand that there is a framework and a way that this will be brought to market. What they are dubious about is, so they're like, again, summarizing, you can go read this yourself and draw a different
conclusion. Yeah, we'll have to put it in the show notes. I do want to read it.
But they sort of say, oh, you know, from our perspective, wholesale CBDCs is like where we think there's a systemic risk. We're less worried about consumer stuff. We see that there's a lot of potential benefits for using this stuff for anything that will reduce fees or intermediaries, but our concern is actually uptake, because many of the real world asset type use cases exist in an environment where high trust is required, right? They're around things like housing or high value payments or important assets or whatever. And it's we the Bank of England understand that you can reduce fees. But our understanding is that fees are not the big blocker to these transactions. And actually, they kind of work fine as is. Like, I mean, you can certainly undercut the market, but whether or not anybody will use your solution is an unknown. So we're not against people trying it, but we just kind of, we're honestly a bit dubious that people will go for it, because we're not, we don't necessarily see that mass adoption is going to happen of these technologies. But, you know,
is that in there?
Essentially, yeah. There's a kind of comment on
just they dropped that in there.
Yeah, I mean,
by the way, nobody's gonna use this shit. Doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, yeah. I'm paraphrasing, but there is
clearly.
I think there might actually be a discussion point which specifically says, oh, you know, like, total bond clearances in a 1 week period or something were like a trillion pounds or something. Total clearances on all digitalized assets today are like 2 billion pounds or something. I'm pretty sure there is actually a number in there where they go like, hey, let's just be real about the numbers we're talking about here.
Yeah.
But then I might be getting that a little bit jumbled, because I have also obviously read analysis of the thing as well as the thing. So it's entirely possible that I'm lying. But I think I'm correct in saying that. And like I say, we'll put it in the show notes so you can have a look. And YOLO. Cool.
YOLO. I do want to see it though.
Cool.
I mean, I do think they've had a couple of these, right? There was one, I think last year we talked about it, and maybe even before that when these kind of groups came together. So I'm glad there's some progress. This seems like they actually have an opinion and that they want to float that opinion. The first one was just like, hey, we're thinking about having opinion. Right. That was basically the sense. First one was like, yeah, this is interesting. We might come up with an opinion. So and now they have one. Have
an opinion. Although, I mean, the difficulty is that in the UK, like there's kind of like a bit of a, I was about to say a rude word. There is an interaction between the Bank of England is like, we are the ones who guard the stability of the economy. That's their role, right? They're the bank of last resort. The FCA are like the regulator. The Financial Conduct Authority, but there's also a third regulator, just to make things really confusing, who are in the same building, I think, as the FCA, or they're next door, but they're not the same regulator. It's very different. The payment systems regulator, very different, even though a lot of the staff have worked at one and the other, very different. Don't do the same thing.
Yeah.
Very different remit. Payment system regulator, FCA, don't get them mixed up. And all three of them interact on this issue. And if honestly, I literally don't even know where the line, like
they don't know either. Like they'll figure it out when they get there.
I had a discussion with somebody at Thing on systemic risk, and there were people from those organizations there. And I said to somebody, I am literally a degen. I know nothing about how these guys interact. Do you know who is responsible for X? I can't remember what it was. It was just like some like token. I was like, as an example, who is responsible for this thing? And this other person was like, could be any one of those three. And I was just like, okay, cool. Awesome.
Whoever takes the lead.
Yeah, I think they're just like, look, they're just over there. If you want to embarrass yourself, just go ask one of those guys and they'll make you feel real stupid.
It's funny.
So I probably should have just done that, but I didn't. So yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, so yeah, I mean, like the fucking, what's it called? The glorious stablecoin future is soon, is coming.
Well, yeah.
Shit chain now in England, or don't, because it's still going to get, it's actually, I think it already is regulated, actually. Stablecoins are already regulated, so don't launch a shit coin. Or do launch a shit coin. Don't launch a stablecoin. And don't promote your shit coin, because then you will break the FCA's rules. Yeah. Don't launch it privately and don't post about it on Twitter.
Make sure.
Or Blue Sky, or whichever,
or whatever
platform you prefer to use. Word. That's Word. Not financial advice or regulatory advice or legal advice. Game of Nodes, baby. Yeah.
I did find, I've been looking for a, not to switch topics, but I've been looking for a way to back to payments, but on the opposite side. I've been finding a way, trying to find a decent tool set to do crypto invoices, and something that would like allow the ability to get paid either stable or anything else, honestly. But like that actually is a like really reasonable invoice structure, allows the ability to create invoices, obviously allows to be able to send those, be able to close those, have a nice interface for that, for people to be able to pay amounts. And I think I might've found one actually, which is kind of interesting. So,
shout out.
I think from our perspective, we just want something that is like that, but we'll just integrate with, existing like accounting tools.
That's what I found. That's exactly what I want. I just want it when I create an invoice, have it go create one in QBO or in Xero or whatever else. If they pay it, mark it as being closed and mark the payment as, you know, as received, like basic shit. You know what I mean? With a nice little interface to it, nothing crazy, just email it out, put my fucking logo on it. Cause I think the issue we have is it's like, we don't want to take a ton, but whatever amounts that we take in are all the same. Like for the most part. And so trying to like track people down to say, hey, they paid it. I'm like, where? Like, I can't see it. Is it this one? There's two coming from Binance. God damn it. Like you can't track it. So, I did find something I'll send to you. Like it's early. Like it's a little bit, I've been giving them feedback on a bunch of stuff because some stuff is just not, it works. But it isn't exactly how I want it. And I was like, well, maybe would you guys think about doing this? So it was like some branding type things or the ability to copy invoices. Like they don't do recurring right now, which I need to, which they're working on.
Invoices, otherwise kill me now.
Yeah, exactly. Like I need the ability just to duplicate it, at the very least, or just set up recurring, which would be nice. So I actually found something I can share what it is. It doesn't really matter. but I demoed a couple, and I don't know if I can find it. I'll look for it. While I'm gonna, but I actually found something that's somewhat reasonable. So I'm gonna give it a shot in December and see how it works. Just get it going, and see if that. I mean, we actually have pretty good DSO or day sales outstanding, like which means that the time between when we send something and when we get paid, that's usually pretty small. The issue for me is reconciliation and trying to figure out what the hell is what. And that means I want to invoice less, which is not really a good thing in a business. It's not the right motivation you want to create.
You can't just,
pro tip would be
get a memo put in or something.
Busy, and then you don't have to invoice at all because you're not making money. That's kind of my.
Nope. Yeah. Nobody puts a memo in
for the last year was to reduce the invoicing overhead.
Yeah. Nope. Nobody puts a memo in. Nobody sends me the transaction ID. Just I get either it's paid or it's not, or I do a follow-up email with a reminder after it's due, and they go, I already paid this. And I go, okay, can you please go back in your life and send me how you did this and when? And they're like, God damn it. So, yeah. So I'm just trying to find something that's like way, 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 way easier. So we'll see how it goes. I think, again, it's just trying to find ways to reduce friction. Like, I don't even want to, it should be easy, right? What the hell? Oh, Rama's out of.
Rama's back with the spanner.
He's back with a spanner. What was it? It wasn't an hour. 45 minutes, maybe? I forgot when I banned him.
Good amount of time.
Yeah, it's good that I can, we could still, even though he's a moderator, you can still ban him. Like, that's important.
Moderator going off their tree. How did you even make him a moderator?
I don't know, somewhere on YouTube. I thought maybe that would bring him out of the ban hammer. So he's got a little spanner.
G MAGA? I don't know.
Figure it out.
I'll have to Google it.
What else is going on?
Lots of test nets at the moment. I've noticed that there is quite a lot of AVS related test nets. Everyone claiming to be the Omni chain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is all the individual chains have no liquidity.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, so we're in a period like we've had two years of bear market. So they decided that this decentralization shit didn't work. So it's time to centralize that shit into one true liquid staking protocol or whatever.
Yeah. ABSs are, I don't know. I hope it turns into something that's, it's right now. I mean, I think Schulze probably has most of these running, within Eigen, but, yeah, I think that idea is going to show up on other chains as well, like just the ability to do something with stake funds and with liquidity and use it in other types of tool sets and all that kind of shit. I think we might say that elsewhere. And Rama asked, anybody excited for Initia? We are excited for Initia. It's funny. It feels like it's been ready for mainnet for a while.
There are a number of chains like that are just waiting for more favorable market conditions.
Yeah.
They're going to be waiting a while.
Today there's security patch, but I haven't seen anything about actual Genesis coming.
I mean, isn't Alio the absolute meme of that? They've been ready for a while.
Alio is launched.
It is launched.
Is it finally launched? All right.
It has been.
Okay.
It is launched.
It's kind of silent. It's kind of silent mainnet, right? Is that what it was?
I don't know. I think they launched and happy days. Our man's gone.
So wait, they launched and you're not on a beach yet. What the fuck?
We're not in it.
I think they launched with what was it, like maybe 12?
Yeah, just a handful. And there's only one friend of the podcast in there. There's a lot They messed up a couple of things with inflation and stuff, and there was some prolific selling which absolutely fucking destroyed the token value. So I think there's a lot of thinking going on there at the moment.
There's a lot of thinking. Hard thinking.
A lot of head scratching,
From their private yacht.
I think there's probably a lot of stress floating around over there. And
no, I think what happened was that there was the way I understand it, that as Null said, there was an issue with, there was actually a technical issue that was incorrect. It's a block
speed issue.
Yeah. It's a block speed issue that was incorrect, maybe because of the number of valves or something else, but it was basically progressing way faster and the emissions were higher. Were the emissions higher than what they should have been?
Way higher, yeah.
So there was massive emissions out to an extremely small Valset that had stake tokens from Foundation and from investors and all that kind of stuff. Valset was selling off at extremely large numbers. Like,
but you would have to imagine so would be the you know, VCs and stuff that were staked as well.
Maybe. I don't know. It would be up to them.
That the validators were selling off like fucking hotcakes.
But those other entities might have contracts that preclude them from doing that. Like if I was taking money in, there would be clear rules around when those VCs could sell and not sell, right? I mean, obviously, right? Because you wouldn't want, what are you gonna do? You're gonna fucking fuck it over? And they wouldn't want to do that anyway, right? Because they're not in it for going to mainnet and having a make believe token and selling it all and saying fuck this and walking away. They would never get work again, right? So unlike those Vals, like I don't know all those groups in there, but if you're selling at seven figures a week, you're never going to be involved in anything I'm involved in, right? Like you would never do that. That's crazy.
Well, I think one of the Vals was selling at seven figures a week.
Yeah. Like what the fuck, dude? That's insanity.
Yeah. But also, you know, boys would be boys.
I mean, there's no rules around it. Sure. Yeah. I mean, I guess they can.
The game, not the player, man. They made a technical mistake. Like,
but I would share that with every single Foundation.
Sure.
Everything like, beyond like, this, would you ever involve that group in another token and say, hey, back here, this inflation issue was here. There was a mistake in the numbers. They were selling it a couple hundred thousand a day before the token was really even launched. Like there's any retail usage. It was just literally dumping.
Yeah, but if you had, okay, so like I'm just playing devil's advocate here. We're also involved in it, but whatever. But like, let's say you have you're a slightly bigger Val, you have a board, you have people that are going to hold you to account, right? And you see that, and you go like, well, you ask like somebody, hey, what's the value of this token right now? And they go, okay, this. And you go, oh shit, okay, so how much are we making a week? And they go like, oh, this. And you go like, right. So you're telling me that if we sell now, we're going to make seven figures a week, and if we don't sell now, we are going to have the moral high ground. I'm really looking forward to telling our board when we discuss our earnings this quarter that we took the moral high ground. That's going to be tip top.
And I mean, I guess it's you're taking profits today in my eyes, I think you have a fucking destroyed business after that point.
How many of those big validator companies have just flat out double signed?
Yeah, that's incompetence though.
Yeah, no, but this is no like user funds got lost. Like this is the only people that have
not this much.
Well, sure, but user funds haven't got lost because it's pre-sale.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
The token peg has been knocked, but like, you know, you just reach out to the validator and you say, "Hey, yo, can
I'm
you
not
just
saying
like,
it's illegal selling?" I don't think it's illegal. I'm just saying like there I think I totally understand your point, and I agree with you. Like, we don't have a board like that would be pushing that and say, why did you leave $3 million on the table? Like, right? I think that's – or whatever that number is, right? Whatever, yeah. $300,000.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. That's a difficult decision to make. Also, you would have to be in contact with that Aleo team to say, this – we have to do something here, and we have to work out an agreement of what we're going to do, because I do think that's a tough business position to be in on both sides, because there's both a technical mistake. I mean, it's not Prop 16, right? But it's not the same. But you're in a situation where you have a situation that there's a legal right to be able to do something. But at the same point, does that legal right the best interest of all the parties involved? And in that case, I would think it probably wouldn't be like. Because that, like that group, I lost.
I hate to tell you, Serpa, but Leo, tapping the sign,
yeah.
As an academic who works on these right now, like it is zero. It is a low trust, permissionless, decentralized system, and that is the point. That is the point. The point of the protocol, the configuration, the Foundation's involvement. You are allowed to do what, and I know you're saying this right. You're allowed to do whatever the economic incentives.
Yeah, whatever the fuck you want. Right,
whether that's the right thing to do, yeah, I take your point, but
yeah,
I think you
it's in their right to do it.
As a node operator, you have to tell the Foundation there's been a mistake here, dude. You guys need to fix this. But right. I think at the same time, is it that dissimilar from like, you know, back in the day when a token first launched and it got listed on Osmosis, and then sometimes they weren't even traded yet at that point, and it was just they were just waiting for the token to stabilize, you know. Validators sold at that point. That's not really any different. We did that on Stargaze. And you know what? The only reason we could sustain 2+ years, 3 years of losses on that validator was because we took 15K profit or 20K profit in that first week, you know?
Yeah.
And again, we didn't have a lot, we didn't have a lot of stake tokens at that point. So we hadn't generated a lot of emissions, but we just went, okay, the token price is higher than it's going to be for a long time. This, I mean, but that is, people were saying at the time, okay, granted, that's like $20,000 or $15,000 or something, then to run a validator at like however many. I don't even want to know how much money we've lost on that validator over time. Whatever, not important. It's a different order of magnitude, the number. I get that. But like the situation is similar in that people were saying these validators are dumping on people, even though it wasn't, there were no retail yet. There was no retail. Like nobody was getting dumped on. The token was getting, the token was losing value because people were selling. But like, I don't know. Did you sell any tokens in that period, Nalo?
On what?
As a business. You were in the early, you know, the token price discovery period on Stargaze. There was like a weird period where validators were basically the only people with liquid tokens from staking. And there was like the price discovery osmosis.
Yeah, we've always, we always sell either a portion or all of our income every month.
There you go.
Looking at this Alio validator set, man, they're one of these validators has pocketed almost 9 million Alio, which is at today's price over is like $12 million.
That's fucking ridiculous.
They have been online for like a month, a month and a half. The lowest take is $1.5 million.
Who pays for that
at today's shitty price? Well, I don't know.
Who's going to pay for
market makers, I guess. VCs and market makers.
Yeah, to be fair, they must have market makers lined up who are going to basically take the L on that. I mean, stabilize the price.
What was it? It dropped, what, from like $5 to $1? I'm surprised it stopped it there. Like, there must
It was a high of over about $6.50.
$6.50 down to $1. Bucks.
Yeah. So yeah. I think there was a lot sold at that, like that initial period. There was just shitloads dumped.
Just fucking dumping, right? Just,
yeah. I think the Alio Foundation are now like I see there's
how much
there's
did they
two validators that have been closed. So
what does that mean?
I don't. Well, I assume that means that they can't take delegations anymore. Oh. There's one of them has 100% commission rate. They've taken in 3.5 million fucking Alio.
Just fucking.
It's out of control here, man. After 1.5 months, the lowest take at today's price is $1.5 million.
Will there be a Prop 16 on Alio?
Congratulations, friend of the podcast. Fuck me.
Lovely stuff.
That is, I don't know. I don't know what you do with that. Like to spend all that time, what are they, how much, this team was in development for 2 years, right? Something like that.
Long time.
I mean, you raise a shitload, you build this vision, you work for 2 years, you make this fucking mistake, right? And then you have a $7 price that goes down to one. Getting to seven is a long way away. And that valuation
getting to
that
seven you in this market is a long
way. It might never happen, right? No. Like it might be impossible at this point. And also, I'm not sure if what their unlock period is and everything else. And then plus you have foundations unlocking and all this type of stuff. Like, it is, you're just working backwards. Like it's just a brutal business to be in.
Yeah, it's pretty mad. Like, oh yeah, I mean, but it's also like the nature of this business, isn't it? Like when some teams win, they win big. And when some people, you know, some teams bring an amazing product to market and they get absolutely nothing back. And some teams bring, you know.
Yeah, but that's not really the point of this whole business, right?
What, it's not like making money.
Making money in this way.
So which way? Like the foundation. The foundation's looking to make money. They want to build a product and keep it running.
Yeah, for sure. They want to build a product that actually has users and that actually grows and all that kind of stuff, right?
That's the goal. I think also all the founders want to get rich as fuck. That's like
right.
You know, like filthy rich, like real, real fuck you rich.
That's validator rich.
What's validator rich? I've not heard of this one yet. Will it be soon? When validator rich?
So, yes.
Yeah.
So in yes. the in the 1.5 odd month, like conservatively 1.5 months that the network's been live, the ALIO paid in commissions is $55 million
total. What'd they raise total?
And the remember? And the that dollar value of that on today's money is $76 million in 1.5
That's
months.
Well, that's right. Right. Is that what's sitting in wallets, or that's sold? That's gone.
So this is on the ALIO Explorer. It says total earnings. I don't know if that is just in commissions or if that is paid stake to stakers.
Well. That must be must be staked right. as well, because otherwise that is otherwise that is just, you know, completely like comedy bonkers. Numbers.
That might be all mint, right?
Yeah, that must be all mint. Because otherwise, you know, friends of the podcast would literally be on a beach right now, and we would be going.
No, I think those other numbers are right, though. I mean, we've had I mean, some of those vals did pull seven figures a week, right? I think away from just like that was we tracked.
Oh yeah, well yeah, the number two one was.
Yeah,
they don't have the names here, and I won't name who they are, but they were pulling quite a bit. In my understanding, I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah,
but the market cap is only, you know, from circulating, the market cap is like 320 million. So it's like, what to fucking put it to put the market, or to have emissions of like, you know,
a quarter, 25%
of your fucking market value in a month and in a half.
In 45 days.
Yeah, it's a bit wild.
That's a bit wild. That's a bit brutal.
24 hour trading volume, 11 million. Yeah, man, I don't know.
That's pretty crazy.
It's a bit rough.
That's fucking crazy. That's a bit rough.
But like you say, you have to feel for the teams. Like, they've been working on this for a long fucking time. So
yeah, that's a tough.
Not 76 million a long time. Are you talking about ALIO? Are you talking about the validator teams?
ALIO.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
These validator teams haven't done shit. They just spun up their thing.
Listen,
hey, come on.
We're in that test. I know exactly what they did.
We're in this together. Valid apes together strong. Come on now. You know the rules.
Dude, I get up and work 14 hours a day and never get a fucking opportunity like this.
Yeah, but it's just a number.
Woe is me. Fill my cover.
Woe is Null.
No.
You know, but Null, you have youth, looks, and purpose.
I have youthful looks and a fucking backyard full of plants.
Yeah. You didn't get it. You didn't find it. You know,
it's funny.
To be fair, actually, I think as soon as I've thought about it a bit, like what it must be like for the ALIO team, I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like the experience of working on the Juno team and then running into the brick wall of Prop 16, and you're just like, well, I have, what's the, is it comic book guy where he's like, yeah, it is comic book guy where he's walking down the street.
Everything Simpsons for you. Everything.
He's walking down the street and he is reading a comic and he goes, but Aquaman, you cannot marry a woman without gills. And then he sees a missile. I can't remember what the context is. Is it Treehouse of Horror? Like, there's a missile going towards him and he goes, oh, I've wasted my life.
Lil D says, Adam 1 is a similar thing going on. Doesn't have the dex to trade it yet. One wallet has staked 9 million tokens, more than 50% of the total stake, 10% of supply to 6 vals. That, Adam 1, that's what was that? Is that Jaquan's thing? Is that what that is?
Maybe it is. Maybe that's Jay's wallet, I guess.
Yeah, it could be. 9 million tokens, 50% of the total stake, 10% of total supply to 6 vals. Yeah,
checks out. Totally cool. No worries.
Checks out. Congrats, Adam 1. I think that is Jaycon's thing, isn't it? I thought that wasn't that like the whole we're gonna make a new cosmos, yada yada.
Yeah, no, because it was Gnosis, wasn't it? And then it was something else.
I don't know. Yeah, in between those manifestos and all that.
No land? No, it's no land, not Gnosis. No land. Gnosis was a different thing.
Yeah, Gnosis is enough.
You know that we've been in this too long. There are just too many words. There are too many
words.
There's too many words. Can you tell I'm getting past my bedtime? But no, as in like they're running out of names for blockchain projects, and it's like, is it this one or is it this one or is it this one? Or this one? They're all the same fucking words, man. I don't know.
Gnu.
No idea, more like.
Yeah, all these mainnet almost there chains. Maybe now that we're past the election, we'll start to see some movement here. Like we talked about before, uncertainty always creates stagnation, right? And so,
hopefully we'll see. Atom One has the same fucking logo as Atom on CoinGecko.
Sweet. Ouch. Is it? Oh, it's on CoinGecko?
There's really? No price. It's preview.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Pretty nice. Looks like what's this Comet BFT security patch that's now making the rounds? Anybody know?
The which one?
See it? This Comet BFT security patch that's
it's coming out. It's to do with vote extensions. So it'll probably be for DYDX, etc.
Okay. Yeah. I think they did push something. Didn't they push something today or yesterday?
Testnet?
No, mainnet.
V7
is on the docket, and then I thought they pushed
that. They had this 6.9.
Yeah, 6.09. Yeah, yeah. I see it on SATA.
Oh, was that main? Yeah, that was main. That must have been the patch, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, that must have been the patch. Same thing. I guess that Anisha patch yesterday was maybe the same thing, I guess. I don't know. Oh, no, that was an actual upgrade, actually. I shouldn't say that. That was an actual upgrade, so that might not have been it. Yeah, starting to see that flow through a little bit, though. What about vote extensions? Is this some, who knows?
I'm not really sure.
Some security thing?
It's just a security thing. And then, because I saw that Injective gave notice that they were going to do a security patch, and then when they were due to put it out, they said, oh, it's only to do with vote extensions, so does not apply.